May I have your attention, please? Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is Son of Yisrael Yedidiah Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
May I have your attention, please? Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is Son of Yisrael Bartolai Hawkins, and I would like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yisrael now entering the sanctuary. And now I'd like to present one of the sons of Yisrael, Yeshaya Hawkins. Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech is, well, I'll let you know later. To start off this morning, I have a question for everyone. What do you think we spend 45% of our day doing? That's okay if you don't know the answer. If you listen to my speech, I'll give you the answer. First, let's lay the foundation. Please turn with me to Deuteronomy 17, verses 9 through 11, on page 161, Deuteronomy 17, 9 through 11. It says, "Go to the priests, to our Levites, and to the judge who is in office at that time. Ask for their decision, and they will give you the sentence of judgment. You must act according to the sentence they pronounce for you at the place Yahweh chooses. Be careful to do all they order you to do. According to the law they teach you, you shall do. And according to the decisions they give you, you shall do. You must not turn aside to the right hand nor to the left hand from the sentence they pronounce for you." This is Positive Law 174. Listen and obey Yahweh's anointed priest. Did you hear that? Okay, let's look at another scripture. Turn to Leviticus 19:32. Leviticus 19, verse 32. On page 98, Leviticus 19:32. It says, "You shall stand up before the gray-headed, and you shall honor the presence of an elder or teacher, thereby giving reverence to your heavenly Father, I am Yahweh." This is Positive Law 209. Show honor and respect for Yahweh's appointed teachers. Now turn over to Exodus 20:12, which is on page 61. Exodus 20:12 on page 61. It says, "Honor your father and mother, so your days may be long upon the land which Yahweh your Father is giving you." This is Positive Law 210. Show honor and respect to parents. So have you figured out what we spend 45% of our day doing? The answer is we listen. We listen 45% of our day. Now that doesn't mean we talk 55% of our day. Actually, according to a study done by Wilt in 1950, the average person only spends 30% of their day speaking. Have you ever been told Yahweh gives us two ears and only one mouth? Why? So we can listen more than we speak. Here are a few more interesting facts about listening. We listen to people at the rate of 125 words to 250 words per minute, but think at 1,000 to 3,000 words per minute. The processing gap creates opportunities for distractions and failure to listen attentively. Less than 2% of people have had any formal education on how to listen. Images go into your long-term memory, whether the less words live in your short-term memory. So what does it mean to listen? I'm going to give you the definition for listen from the Merriam-Webster's Dictionary. It says, listen, to pay attention to someone or something in order to hear what is being said, to hear what someone has said and understand that it is serious, important, or true. Now, two examples in the scriptures of people who listened. One was Samuel, and Samuel as a young boy listened to the priest Eli, and also kings, and also Yahweh himself. And another example is King Solomon. He listened to Yahweh and built the house of Yahweh exactly how Yahweh had instructed and obeyed all the laws of Yahweh, and there was peace on the land at that time. Now, someone who chose not to listen was King Saul, when Samuel instructed him to utterly destroy the Amalekites and all the possessions. He spared King Agag and some of the flocks and herds for sacrifice. But this was going against what he was told to do. So, as we can see, listening is a choice. But why is it important to listen? In the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program Acceptance Unit on page 49, the first paragraph, it tells us. It says, listening is a choice. When we really listen to people, we do not only hear their words, but also their tone of voice. In addition, we observe their facial expressions and body language. In other words, we listen with our ears, eyes, and heart. This is called listening with empathy. It is also important to listen because Yahweh commands us to and tells us that we will benefit from listening. Let's read two scriptures to close. First, turn over to Ecclesiastes 5, 1 through 2, on page 520, Ecclesiastes 5, 1 through 2. It says, keep your foot, watch your step, when you go to the house of Yahweh, and be more ready to listen than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not even realize that they do evil. Do not be rash, reckless with your mouth. Do not think of hastily uttering a word before Yahweh. Yahweh is in heaven, and you are on earth, so let your words be few. And for our final scripture, please turn over to Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Says on page 169, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. It says, And it will be if you will listen diligently to the voice of Yahweh your Father by observing and doing all his laws which I command you this day, that Yahweh your Father will set you high above the nations on earth as his kings and priests. This is how we will greatly benefit if we listen diligently to the voice of Yahweh, which we know comes from the mouth of Yojo Hawkins, the Last Day's Witness. Oh, by the way, have you guessed my title yet? It was Listen Diligently. And with this, I'll turn it over to Son of Yisrael Abel for prayer.
Please stand. It's my great privilege and honor to present to you Son of Yisrael Abel, Deacon Yisrael Abel Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom. You all may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now the title of my sermon today is, Do Not Bear Hatred for Anyone. And if you'll all please turn in your books of Yahweh over to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19. And look at verse 17, and this is found on page 98, Leviticus 19, verse 17. And it says, "You shall not hate your neighbor in your heart. Rebuke your brother or your sister frankly, so that you will not share in his or her guilt." Now this is prohibitive law number 302, do not bear hatred for anyone. Now it's not the laws of Yahweh written in the book of Yahweh that cause separation, hatred, and war. The 613 laws of Yahweh do not separate people. They actually bring people closer together if two or more people agree to live by them. Well, why? Because Yahweh's laws, they're unselfish, and they are designed to protect all people from separation, hatred, fighting, war, theft, sickness, and all other curses. Now, when the laws of Yahweh are kept, there is no hatred among those who keep them. And if you'll turn over to Matithiah, chapter 22. And it's found on page 750. Matithiah, chapter 22. And look at verse 36. It says, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Yeshua said to him, "You must love Yahweh your Father with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So if we have hatred for someone, you know, we should really work on getting rid of it. If we hate our neighbor, or anybody for that matter, we cannot love Yahweh. And if you'll turn over to 1 Diakonon, 1 Diakonon chapter 4, it's found on page 966. 1 Diakonon chapter 4, and I'm going to start in verse 7. And it says here, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from Yahweh, and everyone who loves is begotten of Yahweh and knows Yahweh. He who does not love does not know Yahweh, for Yahweh is love." Now look up to verse 20, and it says, "If anyone says, 'I love Yahweh,' and hates his neighbor, he is a liar. For he who does not love his neighbor whom he has seen, how can he love Yahweh whom he has not seen? For we have this commandment from him, that he who loves Yahweh must love his neighbor also." Now the world we live in today is filled with hatred, which can be seen in all seen from all the atrocities that exist. The curses that a nation experiences for bearing hatred within its borders are far-reaching and affect almost every inhabitant. Now, I have some articles that I would like to read you. Now, these are called hate crimes. But the first article here, it says, there have been 19 hate crimes against Muslims in the past week. A wave of violence targeting Muslims has spread across the country since Donald Trump's incendiary remarks. Now, I'm not going to read all of these, but one of them here, it says, St. Louis, Missouri. A man who identified as a former Marine called the St. Louis office of the Council on American Islamic Relations, or the CIARSTL, threatening to chop off the heads of any Muslims who came to his home. Another one here, it says, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. A red pickup truck threw a pig's head at the front door of the Al-Aqsa Islamic Society early Monday morning before driving off. Islam is well known for forbidding Muslims from eating pork or coming into contact with pigs. No arrests have been made. Another one here, Grand Forks, North Dakota, 25-year-old Matthew William Gust set fire to the Somali-owned Juba Coffee House and the restaurant with a Molotov cocktail, causing $90,000 in damages. Gust has been charged with a Class B felony for arson, which carries a maximum sentence of 10 years in prison. And these were all done, these crimes that I just read you, were all done out of hate for someone else. Now, the results of this hatred include ever-reaching expenses for hospitals generated by having to handle the medical emergencies stemming from gunshot wounds, knife wounds, assaults, rapes, domestic violence, and other like violence occurring on a wide scale. Now, it's obvious that the solutions that they have put in place for this are not working. And these solutions have failed so miserably that actually for a long time, people have actually greatly feared their lives and the lives of their loved ones. And if you'll turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 28, and that's found on page 171, look at verse 65. And it says, "Among those nations you will find no place of repose, nor will the bottom of your foot find a place to rest. But there Yahweh will give you a desperate heart, eyes weary with longing, gradual loss of all hope, and an anxious, tortured, and restless mind. Your life will hang like a weak thread in front of you, and you shall fear day and night that every moment may be your last. In the morning you will say, 'Oh, if it were only evening!' And in the evening you will say, 'Oh, if it were only morning!' Because of the terror that will fill your hearts, and because of the sights you will see with your own eyes." So hatred leads to strife, which on a larger scale leads to war. Now, billions of dollars are spent each year on weapons of war, and the great Deacon Tovey and also Pastor Israel Hawkins has been, they've been showing us, you know, the billions of dollars that have been spent on the weapons of war and also the training and the preparation of other people for war. Now, during war, thousands of children and innocent people, you know, are slaughtered needlessly all because of hatred. I have an article here. It's entitled, "Death Toll in 2014's Bloodiest Wars Sharply Up on Previous Year." And it says here, the body count from the top 20 deadliest wars in 2014 was more than 28% higher than in the previous year. Research by the Project for the Study of the 21st Century, or the PS21, shows almost every major war in 2014 was a significant increase in casualties. According to analysis of a variety of data sets, 2014 saw at least 14 conflicts that killed more than 1,000 people, compared to only 10 in 2013. And it gives a list here. And you can see the rank. Syria is number one here. And for 2014, the death toll was 76,021, but 2013 was 73,447. Now, the total for 2013 was 127,134. And of course, they said it increased this year, or this past year, 2014, sorry, to a total of 163,562. Now, it said early on in the article, it says here, "Assessing casualty figures in conflict is notoriously difficult, and many of the figures we are looking at here are probably underestimates," said PS21 Executive Director Peter Apps. The important thing, however, is that when you compare like-with-like data for 2014 and 2013, you get a very significant increase that says something very concerning. So it actually increased in the past years. Now, if someone comes against you, don't try to get revenge. And in the 14th book of Israel, chapter 3, the sermon date was 2/08/14. And also in this year's calendar, the 2015 calendar, for the 12th Roman month, it has this here, it says, "A message straight from Yahweh to his house against revenge of any kind." Now, this is found in the 14th book of Israel, as I said. And it says here in verse 71, "Now this is where salt was scattered over ice, real white snowy ice and snow. And lo and behold, here were Hebrew letters lined up just like someone had written them. They took pictures. Can you see them? And I'll show you what it had in the calendar again. Here's the picture. And you can see. And it says, can you see them? You can tell they're Hebrew, if you know anything about Hebrew. Skipping down to verse 72, it says, the images in these photographs show to be the Hebrew word, gives you the Hebrew word here, kodaya. This word is from the Hebrew root word, code. I think that's how you pronounce it. The Hebrew, Aramaic, and English Dictionary by Marcus Jastrow, Volume 1, page 425, shows the meaning of this word actually quotes scripture that are set in the laws of Yahweh in what is called the New Testament. Imagine being in trouble. Imagine someone hating you and wanting to kill you. Now imagine also you've been called and Yahweh is preparing you for a house, preparing for you a house. And he's also preparing you for a house, his kingdom. The kingdom of Yahweh and the house of Yahweh are one and the same. This is the kingdom of Yahweh in training right now here, right here. Praise Yahweh. And if you look, yes, praise Yahweh. And if you look over to verse 76, well, in verse 76, it says here, now this word, this letter, what it actually means is, even if a sharpened sword is laid on one's throat, one must not despair of praying for divine mercy. Know that Yahweh knows what you need, and Yahweh got to get that in your head. And know, trust in Yahweh, and that he is preparing you for the future to be a part of his kingdom. Yeshua said, I could have prayed for help. Don't you realize that? Don't you realize by now? Haven't you seen what I've done? Don't you realize by now that I could call for squadrons of Malachim to come and fight if I wanted to do that? Now get in your mind that he is your example, not someone who is filled with vengeance and anger. No, that's not taught in the scriptures. Yeshua taught the perfect unity with Yahweh. He not only taught it, he lived it. Verse 79, about halfway through it, says here, you've never seen any retaliation out of me at all. Never. And you won't see any retaliation from me. I will not yield. I will not yield to the gods or to Satan. And when you do this, when you retaliate, when you let Satan make you angry, and you become like the gods, and you go to war, she pulls you into war. The second letter here is quoting Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. That the words of the law be ever ready in thy mouth. Now the law teaches you don't revenge. Don't hold a grudge. Don't hate someone. Don't hate a person. The system is what is wrong. The God worship, the system of God worship that Satan talked Adam into, then Cain went into it full force. He's the killer. He was the one used. He was used as an instrument of the gods to murder, to start revenge to working. So don't try to get revenge. Retaliation has never solved any problems, and we could see this plainly in the world today. Revenge has never solved anything. You don't see any problems solved by the world today, you know? And they are all following revenge. So don't bear hatred for anyone. And there won't be hatred in Yahweh's kingdom. Now, in conclusion, I want to read you one last quote from the book of Israel. And it says, don't be revengeful. Be like Yeshua. Your will be done, not my own. There is no place in all the scriptures that teaches you in the last days to bear a sword or bear revenge or bear a grudge. To be hateful and envious, evil with your brothers and sisters. There's nothing that teaches you that in the scriptures. It teaches you that I am your friend. Yes, I am your friend. When I teach you and correct you, it's because I love you and I want you with me in that kingdom. So, you know, praise Yahweh. So, don't bear revenge, don't bear a grudge. And, you know, if you have hate in your heart, you know, work on getting rid of it, because the hatred will not be in Yahweh's kingdom. May Yahweh bless you, and if you'll all please stand. It's my great honor and privilege to present to you the great Khan Benjamin Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Oh, man. What a week. This is really, really, I'm telling you, this is it's really an awesome honor and opportunity to be up here today to speak to the saints of Yahweh in these last days. And I've got a really, really great message for you today. And I'm going to tell you, Yahweh is pleased with his house at this time. I'm going to tell you right now. Let's see. Let's get started with the mercy message yesterday from Pope Francis. That's the Drudge Report. That was the cover story yesterday, December 25th at, 11:33. Ooh. He's urging mercy. You see that sword? He's urging mercy. And I want you to remember that the mercy of the wicked, it says even the tenderest mercies of the wicked are cruel. And the Catholic Church is lawless. They are wicked. Okay? And they're teaching wickedness to this whole world at this time. You know, as a matter of fact, December 8th started the year of mercy. And this is from the Tampa Bay Times. I think my, oh, beautiful. That thing is working great today. Just in time. It says, Pope Francis says, mercy trumps moralizing. Mercy trumps moralizing as he opens the Vatican holy door. You know, for the year of mercy there he is, opening the door. Just the separatists are going to open the door. Big old door there. Says, Pope Francis says, mercy trumps moralizing as he opens the Vatican holy door on 12/8/15 to open the year of mercy there. In Rome. And by the way, if you think it was a peaceful deal there, they had a no-fly zone within 20 miles of the Vatican. Okay? Because of threats by ISIS against the great mother-worshipping, ISIS-worshipping Catholic Church. This is the cover of National Geographic this month. Anybody see that? And it says, Mary, the most powerful woman in the world. Yes, Mary, the most powerful woman in the world. Who is this Mary? Well, I'm going to play a video. In fact, if you could cue up video, the first video. And I want you to watch carefully, okay? And listen to what they say about Mary worship. Quote on, and also about ISIS, because they are the same. Okay, now I want to go ahead and play the video if we can, please.
Christian leaders recognized Mary's appeal for potential converts among the pagans.
If you go back and you read the prayers to the goddesses and the shrines of the goddesses and the rituals of the goddesses, they were beautiful and they had to do with healing and with salvation and with comfort in all kinds of ways. And so what the bishops did, and this was done with approval, was that, as they said, baptize all of that and bring it within the parameters of the Christian message. And so the titles, the shrines, the iconography of the goddess got transferred to the feminine figure in the Christian tradition connected with Jesus at his birth, namely his mother.
The most striking similarities can be found in religious icons, such as Isis, the mother goddess, and her son, Horus.
In the Christian church, we have the Christ child who sits on the lap of his mother, the Virgin Mary. And there are many of us who maintain that the Christ child on the lap of the Virgin Mary is the visual appropriation by the Christians of this very venerable icon of ancient Egypt.
The pronounced resemblance may reflect a political challenge that faced the early Christian church, to wean potential converts from their reverence for Isis.
Isis was really the supreme savior goddess of the ancient Mediterranean world and had her cult as far as York and England, and probably early Christianity found Isis to be one of the most difficult obstacles to the popularity of Christianity, because people were devoted to this loving mother goddess.
Blessed Mother in the way that we should. Now, she's not God. We do not worship Mary. We do not. That would be heretical and improper. We love her. We pay respect to her. We have a special veneration for her. We worship God alone. That's a totally distinct and separate thing. The Blessed Mother we respect. Why? She's the Mother of the Lord. How about? For a start. And she's our spiritual mother. So, when you have a problem, go to Mary. She'll take it to Jesus. Your water will be turned into wine. You'll be given the gift of the Holy Spirit, that gift who contains all gifts, and you can handle anything that comes along.
The Holy Father made a pilgrimage to Fatima to thank Our Lady for her divine protection and to consecrate once more the peoples and nations of the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
We do not worship Mary. We do not. That would be heretical and improper. We do not worship Mary. We do not. That would be heretical and improper. We do not worship Mary. We do not. That would be heretical and improper.
No wonder they call this the year of light. So let me ask you a question. Where did we hear that first? Who Mary was? That's right. We heard it from the greatest teacher on the face of the earth. And we heard it in 1976. I want you to keep that number in your mind, 76, because remember, this is also the Hebrew year 5776. Okay, write that down. Right here in the Mark of the Beast on page 52, Pastor talks about the great mother Isis and the Mithra, that they were the most popular religions in the Roman Empire. And it says, the cults of the great mother of Isis and Mithras were replaced by the Catholic Church. They sucked them in, and it says they subdued those religions into the Catholicism. That's why it's called universal, remember? They worshipped all the gods, okay? The great mother Isis. A lot of things are going to start ringing true to you. By the way, Pastor also talked in the Mark of the Beast about the Statue of Liberty. And that's who that is. It's Isis. It says the Statue of Isis was first known as Liberty Enlightening the World. Remember that word, Liberty. But is now more commonly called the Statue of Liberty. However, we must ask ourselves, is she truly enlightening the world, or is she actually the goddess who keeps our illumination in the shadows as she holds the light above in her torch, only to hide the truth from the profane, that means the uninitiated, of the abyss, the sea of humanity, who are kept in the dark? This is one of the great secrets. And by the way, here's one of the, it talks about world-famous Statue of Liberty located in New York Harbor. Remember New York, 666, Mark of the Beast, okay? And it was a gift from the French Freemasons of the Grand Orient to their Mason brothers in the United States. Here's one of the men. His name was Frederick Auguste Bartholdi. He's a French Freemason. There he is with the hidden hand. If you see all these paintings and you see these guys with their hand, it's not because their hand is cold. It's called the hidden hand of Freemasonry. So anytime you see Stalin or any of these guys with their hand tucked away in there, that's the hidden hand of Freemasonry. And also, if you notice, the other guy that helped out, Mr. Eiffel, the builder of the Eiffel Tower in Paris. Remember, it came from Paris, France. given as a gift to the United States. And by the way, and I'm not going to really go deep into this, but I will tell you this. Paris means the city of ISIS. Now, isn't it incredible? And a matter of fact, if you look at their logo, or not logo, but their coat of arms of Napoleon's time, you see right here the boat of ISIS. That's on their coat of arms. You see ISIS at the helm here following the star. That's the boat of ISIS. Now, isn't it amazing? The Year of Light began in Paris. And, you know, we've had all these attacks by Muslims. The last attack by ISIS. Remember that? November 13th. You know, it just doesn't it all just seem too coincidental? You know what I'm saying? The whole world worships ISIS and Saturn. Remember, ISIS is the mother. Of course, we know who the real mother is, don't we? Who's the real mother of us all? That's right. The house of Yahweh is our mother. Yahweh is our father. By the way, today's 12/26. Today's the 26th. What does 26 mean? Yod, hey, wah, hey. 10/5/6/5. 26. Right? Now you can give Yahweh a hand, you know. So, last week, Pastor left off here. He was talking about the number 630. Remember, he saw the press release. And it said 144-630 on the bottom of the press release. And I want to show you, I want to remind you what the meaning was. It's very important for the sermon today. This is the Greek definition. It means to be fully free, release. And I want you to be thinking about the year of release, okay, that the great Kohen David talked about a few weeks ago. Pardon, forgive, let go, release, loose, set at liberty. Liberty. I'm talking about true liberty, not a statue of liberty, okay? The world doesn't know anything about true liberty. As a matter of fact, here's what the World 630 is talking about here. Now, you all remember back on that day that Pastor saw the 144-630 was on 12/12 when they were gathered in Paris for the climate change conference to save the world, right? The same people that brought the destruction are going to save the world. Here's 630 in the Hebrew, and it means the enticed gathered. The enticed gathered. Can you turn over to Revelation 16 real quick? Revelation 16. I'll give you a page number. Here's one of my pages. I'm going to have to get with the press room here this next feast. This thing is falling apart. Revelation 16, we're going to look at verse 12. The sixth plague, it says, and the sixth Moloch poured out his bowl, and it says, upon the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now, I want you to keep the way of the kings of the east in your mind, okay? And it says, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. If you look at side note D, it says, by command of Satan, and out of the mouth of the beast. Look at side note E, world governments following Lucifer. World governments following Lucifer. Lucifer, the light bringer, the bringer of light. Lucis meaning light. And fur, as in like ferry, a ferry boat, transfers from one place to another, the light bringer. Okay, that's what it means. Let's continue now. It says, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Look at side note F. Demon spirits leading the preachers. Look at verse 14. For they are the spirits of demons who perform signs, who go forth to the kings of the whole inhabited earth to gather them to the battle of the great day of Yahweh Almighty. They're being gathered. Okay, now they're being gathered. There's two gatherings taking place here. Okay? There's going to be the gathering here. at the great Rock of Abel, the great house of Yahweh, isn't it an awesome thing to be in the house of Yahweh in this time period? But then there's also another gathering where 4/5 of the earth's population are going to be destroyed. And we don't find pleasure in this. Yahweh doesn't find any pleasure in this. Yahweh finds no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Now, let me get my bearings straight. That was 6:30. I just want you to keep that in your mind. I'm not going to go any further into that. Now, I do want to tell you this week something. Yahweh gave us a righteous gift, a beautiful gift, for the anniversary of the establishment of Yahweh's last day's work in these last days, a permanent sanctuary on December 21st. But now I want you to know that, matter of fact, let me show you on the calendar. This is the new calendar for 2016 with Yahweh's beautiful seventh Moloch on the front, where he needs to be. And, of course, the first one here is December, and it shows December 21st is the dedication of the last day's first permanent sanctuary in 1981. That was 34 years ago. 34. Y'all remember that number, right? What occurred in 34? Yahweh's last day's seventh Moloch was born, right? Conceived in 33, born in 34. Remember those numbers. They're very important, very significant. Also, the 21st is, 777, right? Think of all these very important numbers that we've been learning. Now, but here's what I want you to get in your mind. It was all tied in on the 21st, but these events took place on 12/20, the evening before. It's like there's no end to the beautiful things that Yahweh's bringing forth in these last days to his beloved golden saints. Purple, sprinkled with purple. Now it says, this is the Hebrew definition of 12/20. Now, first of all, I'm getting ahead of myself. Can we play the second video? Now, before we play it, I want to just give you a preview of what you're going to see. Now, how many of you are familiar with the fact that that missile down there on the southeast corner no longer has a capstone? No longer has a sword and a, what else was on that? Just big long sword and a cross, right? The cross of Constantine. It's no longer there. It got put down, clipped off, cut off. Amazingly, right? Now, I want you to look at the time, and I want you to look at the date, and I want you to keep in mind that at the time this took place, the Peaceful Solution Character Education Certification class was taking place. Okay? Can you play the clip, please? And there's an arrow pointing toward what you need to see. Now, it's really nothing short of miraculous that we even caught that on film. That is so cool. Praise Yahweh for that camera that was sitting there. Because we really didn't know if that was going to be caught or not. But how amazing, right? So on 12/20, now I want to get these things in your mind here as we go along. The definition of Hebrew 12:20, and these numbers, by the way, have been gone over numerous times because the 19th, 20th, and 21st of December have been the anniversary of many things. Remember Pastor's face seen on the moon from the 19th to the 21st that one year? One year, the Peaceful Solution down there teaching Judge Hale's court on the 19th of December. The great teachers of the Peaceful Solution on the women's side on December 19th. Saw the SHDHF here over the sanctuary and the age and the box. Y'all remember these things, right? That was in 2011. I went over that last week. Now, 12/20 that you saw on the frame there It means gold. It means gold. And I want you to remember the words of this song right here, the gold song. I'm not going to sing it, okay? I promise you. But I'll repeat some words. It says, Yahweh says, behold, my saints shine like gold. They are now prepared to go forth and begin to teach the young and old true lasting peace, the peaceful solution character education program that they were in at that time at 6:06 in the certification class that takes place from 5:30 to 6:30 on first day evening, because we have Lemuja class at 7. I'm plugging you, Lemuja class. We need to be at these classes. You know, these are very, very important. If we can I'll turn over real quick also to the book of Eob, chapter 22. Eob chapter 22. I'll find a page number for you. It's on page 423. And let's look at verse 21. It says, now submit yourself to Yahweh and be at peace with him. Remember, Pastor last week told us we need to be found at peace with Yahweh. And he was quoting out of 2 Kefa chapter 3. We need to be diligent to be found at peace with him. That means we need to get all sin out of our lives. In this way, success will come to you. That is a promise. You can also find that in Yahshua chapter 1 verse 8. That's how we succeed. That's where success comes from. Verse 22, it says, I tell you, receive the law from his mouth and lay up his word in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you will be restored. Remember that word, return. You will be restored. That is, if you will only remove wickedness far from your tents. Verse 24, and lay your gold in the dust. Lay your gold in the dust. Whatever's important to you in this world that you think is so important, that's above the house of Yahweh, above learning the peaceful solution, above learning of Yahweh's way, and teaching others, showing true peace to others, true mercy that Pope Francis knows nothing about. And lay your gold in the dust, the gold of Ophir among the stones of the brook, and allow the Almighty Yahweh to be your gold and your precious silver. That's where our heart should be. That's where our treasure should be, right here in the house of Yahweh. Surely then you will find delight in the Almighty and will lift up your face to Yahweh. You will then pray to him and he will hear you and you will fulfill your vows. What you will decide to do will come to pass and the light shall shine on your ways. Verse 29, then when men are brought low, listen to this, when men are brought low, you shall say, lift them up. Then he will save the humble person. Verse 30, he will even deliver one who is not innocent if you intercede. Yes, he will be delivered by the cleanness of your hands. You remember Moshe, he went to Yahweh on behalf of Pharaoh. And he prayed for him. He asked him to, but he went and did it. Very humble man. Keep that word in your mind too, humble. Now, number 1219, or what, number 1220, it shows you here. It also means gold defense. And it also means a clipping. A clipping. And it's from the Hebrew word batsar, which is 1219. And it means to cut off, make inaccessible, enclose. It also means fortified. Turn over, please, to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, just a few pages over from where we were. Psalm 46. And let's look at verse 1. 452. Yahweh is our refuge and strength, our very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear in the changing of the earth. Do you remember what 2016 means in 2015? Remember that transformation we've been talking about? The earth is going to change. There's a transformation that's taking place And it's not going to be overnight, but it's been going on. We've been living through this. He says, therefore, we will not fear in the changing of the earth and in the moving of mountains into the seas. Yes, the seven hills of Rome are going to be swallowed up into the sea like Pharaoh and his riders. And you're going to live to see this, but we must put our full faith and trust and confidence in Father Yahweh. Every one of us, man, woman, and child. You won't fear the changing of the earth. Also, for your notes, you can go to 2 Samuel 22:2. And it talks about, and keep that mind 222, keep that number 222 in your mind too. You're going to see in a minute what I'm talking about. Now, here's some more definitions of 1219. It means to cut off, enclose, fortified, gather, impenetrable. That's talking about this place right here. The gold defense, the house of Yahweh, where Yahweh has his gold stored. And that's you, great gold saints of Yahweh. You are his precious treasure. And he is going to protect the house of Yahweh. It also means to cut off, make inaccessible by fortifying. Now, this is really interesting. It says to cut off, take away, Psalm 76:1-3. 7613. You know, let me give you a little background on that. Psalm 76:13 doesn't exist. Let's turn there and find out. Turn to Psalm 76. That caught my attention because when I was studying the number 7613, that's the first place I went to Psalm 76 so I could see what the 13th verse said. And I was shocked to find there's only 12 verses. And I was like, oh, just missed it by one. But let's read verse 12. It says, you break the spirit of rulers. You are reverenced by the kings of the earth. Now, this is Psalm 76. We are, Pastor wrote Mark and the Beast of 76. This is the year of light, 5776. So let's read a little bit at the top here before we go further into this. It says, in Yada, O Yahweh, your name is known. Then your name is exalted in Israel. In Salem, meaning Jerusalem, the city of the priest who teaches peace, is your tabernacle, the house of Yahweh. And your dwelling place is in Zion. Remember all those that keep Yahweh's 613 laws. There you shattered. That word shattered is Hebrew word 7665, and it means you broke the arrows of the bow, the shields, the swords, and the weapons of war. Selah, that means ponder this for a moment here. And think about that sword down there at the end of the southeast corner. And the east, with the kings of the east. Remember the way of the kings of the east. It says, you are more resplendent and excellent than the mountains of prey. That means those churches. The stout of heart are plundered. The warriors sunk into sleep. And none of the mighty men had found use of their hands. You know why? Because you, house of Yahweh, we are teaching the peaceful solution. And we're going to put those warriors to sleep. Do you understand that? They are going to go to sleep. I'm not talking about death. I'm talking about they're going to beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation. Neither will they learn what? War anymore. Sounds like a song you could probably write or something. No war anymore. Now it says, at your rebuke, Father of Jacob, both horse and chariot have been cast into a deep sleep. Remember these weapons of war that Samuel told them that they would be building for the king. If they took a king, that he would have them building his weapons of war. You yourself are held to be held in reverence. And who will stand against you when you're in your judgment? He doesn't get angry. You know, Yahweh doesn't need anger management. Okay. We do. I know I do. I'm not speaking for all of you, but I know I need to be reminded about my emotions and how to control them to my advantage. Chapter 2 of the self-control unit, right? It says, you caused your sentence to be heard from heaven. Remember, Israel, through Israel, Yahweh will be glorified. His sentence is going to be heard by the last day's witness. Remember Revelation 17, come and I will show you the sentence of the great whore. Jorge. Bergoglio. The man of the earth man, when you rose for judgment to save all the oppressed of the earth, truly they will praise you for your wrath against evil men. The survivors of your judgment will gather around you. Make your vows to Yahweh, our Father, and pay them. Let all those around you, O Yahweh, bring gifts to you, Almighty One, who is reverence. Now, that last 12:20 is from 12:10. It's from the Hebrew Batsar. Oh, here it is. Man, it's still up here. Oh, I was still showing that. Okay, I'm sorry. But Psalm 76:13, it's not there, is it? Huh. This must be some kind of mistake. I'm going to tell you, it shocked me when I saw it, when I was like, 76, that doesn't even exist. But let me do some investigating. I'll get to that in a minute. Just have to, jumping ahead of myself. This is from 12:10. 12:10 means gathering, and I want grape gathering, grape harvest. Remember Revelation 14:17. Let's turn over there real quick so you can we can be reminded of the Moloch treading the grapes of wrath. Revelation 14, verse 17, the treading of the grapes of wrath on page 980. It says, in another Moloch, this means the same Moloch. It's not talking about somebody else. It's talking about Yisrael Abel Hawkins. And another Moloch came out of the house, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another Moloch came out from the altar who had power over fire and cried with a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. Okay, and remember their grapes in Deuteronomy, I believe, 32, the Song of Moshe, their grapes are grapes of wrath and bitterness and hatred. Okay, this is not Yahweh. Yahweh's not like that. There is no darkness in Yahweh whatsoever. None. Zero. Nada. Goose egg. And he loves you. He loves this house of Yahweh. I'm going to tell you right now, the mind of this being that could foresee all these things. I mean, it's just incredible. Now, remember, this sword fell at 606. Which, remember, 6 is the number of man. Well, 606, this is in the Greek. It means to be laid away, laid up in store. Remember, you're Yahweh's treasure. You're laid away. You're laid up in store. You're reserved in the house of Yahweh. But he's also laying something else away. He laid that sword down kind of off that missile, didn't he? It means to be laid away, appointed, laid. Means to be reserved, to be appointed. And it's the C Greek apo, which is 2749. Says lay, lain, specially appointed. That's us, specially appointed. But lay, lain, lay down. As in lay down your weapons. Lay and lie. I want to get back to that 7613. I'm not going to let you get away with that. Well, notice what it also means here. It's from 5087, and it means falling, laid down, sink. Okay? Remember, Babylon is falling. The ways of war are going to be eliminated, but not before 4/5 of the earth's population are destroyed. This is 606 in the Hebrew, and it means man. It means mankind. And it's from the Hebrew word Enosh. Enosh is 582 in Strong's, and it means mortal man, scoffers, scorners, soldiers. Bloodthirsty. It's from the Hebrew word Enosh. Enosh. That's right here. It's 605, and it means sick, desperately sick, incurable, sick, woeful. It also means this, desperately wicked, incurable, sick, and woeful. Remember what the woe to these pastors that are teaching Yah, that are spreading Yahweh's flock and not gathering them here where they belong. Now, if you remember the Laudato Si, that was the letter that Pope Francis wrote. It was published, officially published at noon on June 18th, 2015, accompanied by a news conference. So it was on the sixth Roman month, the 18th day of the year 15. So everything adds up to six, doesn't it? 18 is six times three. 15 is five and one is six. 20 and 15 is 36. That's six sixes. Let's see, how many more sixes can we get out of this? But now, in the way of the, if you were in Rome and you were doing as the Romans do, in the European dating, it would be 18-6. 18-6, like 1806, like 606, when that thing fell out there, y'all remember? In fact, if you were watching, it had military time and it said 1810, but I forgot to show you something. I'm going to have to clear this up in case there's any conspiracy theories about this. I want to quell them right now. Let me quell these right now. Let's see, where's it at? Here it is. Okay, last night I had to take this picture because I couldn't sync it up with that one night, but our great security team showed this, that you can see this was last night, same camera, okay? And it shows that it's 20:46:02. The time is 20 is 8 o'clock, I think, 8:46. And that over here, you'll see it says 8:42 here, but it says 8:46 here. There's a four-minute difference. In other words, the clock was 4 minutes fast. It said 18:10, but it was actually 18:06. Okay? Does everybody understand that? So there's no conspiracy theories. Okay, great. I knew you would. Okay, so, all right, let me continue. I still got a lot to cover. All right, so let's get into, and I'm going to get back to that 7613. Believe me, Yahweh's going to bring us back to it. Okay, now, December 20th, okay, I am jumping ahead now. All right, I want to remind you of something. We were talking about 7613. Y'all remember that number, right? Didn't we wear it on our purple sashes? Pastor still wears it. I still see him with it on sometimes. Notice this. This was from the great judge in South Carolina along with another great judge in Yahweh's house that are monitoring these things. If you remember, on December 20th, 2013, there was a news release. And the news release was, Yisroel Hawkins tells Pope to let Yahweh's people go. Isn't that coincidental? And notice, Pastor said, on December 20th is when it was released. I'm sorry, hold on. December 20th is when it was released. And Pastor noticed the number there of media that were grabbing onto it at that point was 7,613 media. That was on December 20th of 2013. You think that's a coincidence? Oh, you won't after you see the rest of this. Okay, so we have a history of December 20th and 7613 already. So what I did was I said, well, how many days has it been since December 20th, 2013 to December 20th, 2015 when this missile fell? Well, it was 730 days. Of course, the 73 struck me right away because what does that mean? Race. The race. Remember, 73 means the race in Greek. And it also means sash. Remember in the Hebrew. Yeah, we got to remember these numbers and these definitions, okay? If you keep them in your head, you'll see certain things and you'll go, oh. That's why we're learning these numbers and these definitions and things, because it's very important, okay? It's very important. So I looked up 730. Okay, I looked up 730. And this is Hebrew. And it means, it's from 729. It means a cedar. And that means from the tenacity of its roots. You know, it's firmly grounded and rooted. You know, like Psalm 1 says, you know, it's like a righteous man who's by a riverside, like a tree that's firmly grounded. Okay? And it's from 729. Okay? And it means, 729 means to be firm. Made firm, firm and strong. So I looked up 730 in the Greek. And it means male. And it says, here it says, from the word arrow. I don't know if you remember this, but last week this word came up. It was 142 in the Greek. And it means as stronger for lifting, arrow meaning like an aeroplane, you know, takes off and it lifts up. And it says, see Greek arrow. So I went to arrow. And it's word, as I said, it's word number 142. And it means to raise, take up, lift. Raise, lift up, take away, remove. And let me get in a little further along. It says, to take off or away what is attached to anything. As that sword that was attached up there on that missile. To take off or away what is attached to anything. Cut off. To carry off. The wind carried it off, by the way. Or was it the Malachim that carried it off? You know, Pastor said, before I go any further, Pastor said it looked like a work of art down there. The way that thing fell, it really shouldn't have fell that way. It's just nothing short of incredible that it fell forward and not backward. There's just, it's just really, when you go down, and I encourage everyone to go down and look at that today. Go down there and look at it. By the way, I forgot to tell you, we looked at it before I go further there. Let me show you some measurements that we came up with. Here's the boys out there yesterday. You can see their measuring tape all the way at the top. Okay? They hooked it up there at the top. And when we got to the ground, it was exactly 222 inches. 18.6 feet. 1806, 1806, remember? 666. The ways of mankind, war, hatred, retaliation. 222. Wow, that must be a coincidence. Hey, by the way, let me give you another side of 222. Go to Daniel 222. While we're talking about 222, let's go to Daniel 222. On page 672, it says, you, Yahweh, reveal the deep and secret things. You know what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with you. Yes, you are the true illuminated ones, the true enlightened ones, right here in the house of Yahweh. Everybody else is faking it. They're in darkness. They don't know what the light is. The light is Yahweh's laws. We're the ones being taught Yahweh's laws, not the world. Okay, so it was 18.6 feet. By the way, here's another picture I really liked. It's exactly 70 feet from the van there to this sword that's laying in the ground. Exactly 70 feet. And remember, this is a 7613 van. Remember? There's the sword buried into the ground there. It's just amazing how it landed like that. See, here's the van number, 7613. Okay? Now let's continue. Oh, by the way, what was the other number I forgot on that? It was 18.6 feet high. It was 70 feet from the van. What was the other number? What now? No, not that. It was another one. I'll have to go back and look. I'll try to remember. Let me get back to this. So it means to take up or take away. And notice it says, by Hebraism, compare NASA. Compare NASA. Now we should all remember what that word, where that word came from, right? Well, let me remind you first. Here's the purple book of Israel. Purple and gold, pure fine gold, gold, pure fine gold, in the gold song, remember? The very first sermon, this has been gone over before, was 7:6:13. 7:6:13. And just to give you a whet your appetite here, the last sermon in that book was 12:21:13. 12:21. Huh. What could this mean? So, y'all remember this song, right? Yahweh's harvest time. Let me back up here. Okay, and remember, this is some of the lyrics. When you see all your fields so green and growing strong, red with sunshine, gold for harvest, purple blossoms sprinkled everywhere, you sense the joy and gladness of a family gathering to weed and sow all the fields, making ready for a great harvest time. Okay, I want you to think about the purple and gold, because remember, this book is purple and gold, is it not? And by the way, this is the first purple book of Israel. The 13th part 2 is the first purple book of Israel, and it's got gold on it, gold and purple. And the first sermon was 7:6:13, and I need to remind you, in the very first, second verse of the sermon, he says, what I brought was an exact description of what is shown in the nebula. They have the pictures of it. NASA took them, so they can't be denied. Well, what picture was he talking about? Sorry about that. Let me get up here. He's talking about this picture right here. That day he was talking about this picture. I saved this one at 6:13 on July 10th. 10:7, the seventh Moloch, Revelation 10:7. And here's the picture of Yahweh's last day's witness in Yahshua. Right here is Yahshua, pastor coming up behind him, getting ready to take his seat. Remember, the council of peace will be between them both. Now I want you to notice also, too, that Roman soldier is facing the east, okay? And they're facing west. Right here. They're facing the opposite direction. Remember the ways of the kings of the east. So 7:6:13, what did it mean? It meant from 5735, elation or cheerfulness, exaltation in rank or character. Now that should ring a bell. Now that should ring a bell to everybody, because remember the purple song. Purple belongs only to the one royal family. It says, purple is the rank and character of Yahweh's kings and queens. It means elation or cheerfulness, exaltation and rank or character, be accepted, rising. It's from 5375, and 5375, here it is the Hebrew word NASA. Remember, that's a missile down there, isn't it? I want you to think of all these things that I mentioned. But you know, it's really amazing where that word NASA was first mentioned. Any guesses? Let's go back here. 1976. Page 126 of the Mark of the Beast. But it means a different lifting up. We lift up what? Yahweh's righteousness in the house of Yahweh. We lift up Yahweh and his righteousness, but the world lifts up this. Right here, page 126, pastor talks about the Greek word bird in Revelation, that it talks about every unclean and hateful bird. There's 142 arrow, which you just saw, and it says NASA right here, and he means
Every unclean and hateful bird means to raise up sin. To raise up sin, which is against the laws of Yahweh. Again, that's page 126 of the Mark of the Beast. So we thought we heard it the first time when it was first brought out, right? Oh no, everything goes back to the Mark of the Beast. Exalting sin instead of righteousness. It also means to lift up. Remember what Yahshua said in Luke 21:28? When you see all these things begin to take place, remember the signs in the heavens and in the earth? He says, lift up your heads, be cheerful. Remember what it means? To be cheerful. The other definition I just showed you. It means to be cheerful. It means elation or cheerfulness. Be cheerful. We got everything to be cheerful about right now. Don't you think, Asi Yahweh? Okay, I want to make sure that... Okay, I showed that. All right, and I showed you the van with the 7613. Okay, now here's the actual news release from December 20th. Yisrael Hawkins tells Pope to let Yahweh's people attend this upcoming feast and plead to stop prophetic plagues, he says in a new article. Here is Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. Remember where Yahweh tells Cain, you will be accepted if you do righteousness? You see what word that is, right? 7613. 7613, you will be accepted or acceptable. You will be exalted in rank or character if you do righteousness. Oh, just to give you a sneak preview of a later sermon, notice the first 319 is one of the numbers out there on that van. That's a phone number, 956-319-5013. I'm not going to get into that today, but you're going to be amazed at what it means. Okay, chapter 2, this is from the 11th book of Israel. Chapter 2, and we're going to look in part 2, by the way. Pastor talked about it right here. He says it actually means cheerfulness. Yes, that word accepted actually means cheerfulness. It means exaltation in rank and character. Now remember, this was given before the 7613 even took place. In rank and character, being raised up as Yahweh or Isaiah said. And he says it means dignity, excellency. These are all the things there. And if you study every one of those words, you'll see what Yahweh put in that little Hebrew word, NASA, or 5375, which NASA comes from. Look up, lift up your head. Okay, now, I told you that this year is... Let's see, I don't know if I need to even show you that. Oh, I was going to get back to the 7613 thing here. Okay. This year is 5776, according to the Jewish calendar. They call it the Hebrew calendar. And it's 76 is when Pastor wrote the Mark of the Beast. And I was actually studying Psalm 76 because I saw how it related to the time period we're in right now. But remember, I showed you, and by the way, the Pope left, from the time the Pope left on September 28th till the end of the year of light here on October 2nd, or the end of the Hebrew year 5776 is exactly 370 days. And by the way, that lands, if in case you want to know, October 2nd lands on the... Everything's buried up here, I'm sorry. Right here, October 2nd on the House of Yahweh calendar is the Feast of Trumpets. Feast of Trumpets. So Psalm 76, you know, I thought it doesn't have 13 verses. Well, you know, it does. In a lot of other commentaries, they show that the verse 12 is actually verse 13 because they add this right here, where it says, to the chief musician on Neginoth, a psalm or psalm of Asaph. Okay, so they add that as the first verse. And it's not the only one. Here, I'll skip that one, but this is the New American Bible, Psalm 76:13. Remember, the spirit of the princes, he puts it down. That's the New American Bible, has 13 verses. This is the complete Jewish Bible. It has 13 verses, 76:13. This is the 1611 King James Version, Psalm 76, verse 13, right there, 76:12 in the newer King James. He shall cut off the spirit of princes, 7613. Isn't that amazing that he uses that number, right? And many other ones too, by the way. Okay, so also the Tanakh version of the Bible. Anyway, Psalm 76. So 1221, I'm almost done. I know I'm almost wearing out my welcome here, but it gets better, okay? Okay, so 1221 is, okay, 1221, I got a phone call from Deacon Eob, our deacon that works on the farm. And he told me, you know what? There's a receipt. There's a receipt Pastor told me to tell you about from Benny Keith for $7,613.01. Now, this was before I even knew the rocket thing fell off. Remember, it fell off the night before, but you know, I was so busy I didn't notice anything that day. I didn't go by there, so I didn't see it. But at the same time, I got a text from Deacon Michael Ossoff saying, hey, look, the sword fell off of the deal over here. And this all came at the same time on December 21st around 1:03 in the afternoon. Now watch, I'm going to show you. First of all, I'm going to show you that December 21st means fortress. Remember, Yahweh's our fortress. And I want you to write this down. Psalm 144, 1 and 2. Write that down for your notes. Okay, now I got to show the pictures so you don't think I'm making this up. This is the incoming phone call from Deacon Eob on 1221. And it was at 1:03 is what I wanted to show you. I didn't really want you to give you his number. Sorry about that, Deacon Eob. You don't get a bunch of calls. 1:03, okay? It was 1:03. Here's, I see him looking at me right now like, okay, 1:03 means gathers, and it means gather food only. Well, remember, Benny Keith is a food company that brought this receipt, okay? And the interesting thing, it means one who gathers. Remember, he works on the farm. And Proverbs 10:5 says, a wise son gathers in the summer. A wise son gathers in the summer. Remember harvest time in the summer? I'm sure that's what he does, right? Oh, by the way, so I looked up his name just to kind of see. I'm not trying to exalt him. What I'm showing you is this is the work of Yahweh, okay? Look right here. Eob is 76 in gematria. 76. So the receipt from Benny Keith. Oh, by the way, Benny Keith is in Fort Worth. Notice, look how close that is on their zip code. You just knock one of those ones out of there. Here's the check number that he was telling me about. Here's the Benny Keith receipt. Right here, 761301. I guess he made a mistake on that and he scratched one in there. Okay, when you do the math, it comes out that minus the tax, 761301. Even the check number was interesting too, but we won't go there. Now remember, 1220, it was 7613 and 1 penny, right? 1 cent. You remember this guy, right? The 1 cent. Notice that word liberty. This was back at the last year of release, 2010. There's another one coming up, right? 2016, 2017. I'm sure that's a coincidence, right? Notice 1220 in the Greek. I only showed you 1220 in the Hebrew. 1220 means penny. Penny. It was an ordinary pay for the day's wages. Remember the denarii that Yeshua spoke about? They made a denarius or a denarii was one penny. Right here shows all the scriptures that use it. The laborers for a penny a day, he sent them. Matthew 22, 20 verse 9, 20 verse 10, penny, penny, penny. Coincidence, right? Let's see where I'm at. Oh, okay, yes. Turn over to Yochanan for my closing scripture. Turn over to Yochanan 6:29. I remember giving a sermon not long ago where I said there were some workers waiting on Pastor one morning at 6:29. And Pastor called me and he said, look at that word 6:29 and what it means. He already knew what it meant. He already knows all things. Okay, I'm sorry. I've just seen too much proof. Okay. But, you know, he was trying to get me motivated or something, right? And I looked it up, and sure enough, you know, it meant some really great things. But 6:29, notice in Yochanan on page 8:21, it says, Yahshua answered and said to them, this is the work of Yahweh, that you believe into the one he has sent. Now notice, 6:29 in the Hebrew means diligence. All diligence, diligently, great care, strictly. Remember, strictly in the purple song, because you follow me strictly with all body, mind, and soul. It's from 6:29, or here's 6:29, I'm sorry, in the Greek, it means redemption, deliverance, to buy back, repurchase, win back what was forfeited or lost. It means redemption, release. And I'm getting to a certain word. It says, see Greek lutron. And it means, this is 3084 in the Greek, and it means I ransom, liberate, deliver, release on receipt of ransom, liberate. Remember that word liberty on that penny. And here it is right here. 3083. And it means the ultimate price, the ultimate liberty price. Remember the year of release. Remember this man right here, because House of Yahweh, is there any other place? There's no way. Here is the man right here that we need to put our full faith, trust, and confidence in. The one sent by Yahweh. Let me just make sure I didn't miss anything else. Because I every time I walk off here, I see something I missed. And I just kind of... Oh, by the way, one other thing. We were out taking pictures of the missile. And this came up in the sky. Over this. Y'all see that? It's been X'd out. Well, I hope you greatly enjoyed today's sermon. I greatly enjoyed bringing it. Yahweh is putting down the ways of war, but remember, put your full faith and confidence in Yahweh. Buckle your seatbelts, because there's going to be a lot of things that are going to take place, and you're going to have to be firmly grounded in Yahweh's house, firmly grounded in the peaceful solution, the laws of Yahweh, the mark of the beast. Get it. It works. Get grounded, House of Yahweh. We love you. Yahweh loves you. It's been a pleasure. And then at this time, I'd like to turn it over to a great priest of Yahweh, the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Of course, in the last week's events, we've had situations that really make you shake your head. We had a situation where a man had to take a gun and literally prevent a group of people from harvesting his son's organs, who they were saying the man is brain dead. This young boy is brain dead. I say young, he's a young man. So they were labeling him brain dead. They convinced the boy's mother he was brain dead. They were ready to harvest some organs, so he had to go in and save his son. You may think that he had to do that with terrorists, but was a local hospital just about 2 hours from here. And when the SWAT team finally came in, they brought their own doctors to find the young man was still responsive. But yet the hospital was saying, no, he's brain dead. You should donate his organs. Keep that in mind when you go to the hospital. Also, the U.S. has lifted the ban on exporting oil. Now, this is the first time in 40 years. Now, this is interesting because the U.K., they actually have so much oil, they have tankers sitting out in the ocean for periods of 2 to 3 months because there's nowhere to put the oil. So where is it being exported to? And, of course, why? Well, the United States, of course, was fracking. They started fracking back in 2008. And in Oklahoma, that was one of the greatest places the fracking took place. Now, this fracking, remember, during the Dust Bowl, they said they raped the land. They literally took it for everything that it had. Well, this injection that they're putting into the ground left over from fracking water, they're injecting that back into the ground, and it's leading to earthquakes. To the point, as Pastor mentioned last week, Oklahoma now has more earthquakes than any other place in the world. Now, that's amazing to go from almost none to having more than any other place in the world. A very interesting fact, in Cushing, Oklahoma, which is where they store 54 million barrels of oil, there's more oil stored in that town of 7,000 people than anywhere else in the world. That's a very interesting fact in Oklahoma. Also, lakes are still disappearing due to the drought. And watch, once again, they keep showing these pictures of the lakes in California, and the more they show them, the lower they are. And they're saying it's becoming part of the norm now. We're just going to have to learn it's part of the norm. They're saying that Lake Tahoe, it rained and they got 4.3 billion gallons into that lake, and it only raised it 1.5 inches, and they needed to raise 6 foot. So you can see they're too far behind in this ball game, so to speak, and they're not going to catch up. Also, a document released this week from the 1950s of a nuclear strike list the United States had back in when John F. Kennedy would have became president in the 60s. Of course, this was into action, but it was released this week. And keep in mind, there's no reason to release these things except to put it into the minds of people. These were intentions. And Europe wasn't very excited to see it because the United States had planned to nuke Germany and parts of Europe along with Russia. And one of the topics, the logistical centerpieces, were topics of areas of population, where the mass population was, that was considered a place to have a nuclear strike. Also, one article speaking about 9 countries having 15,000 nuclear weapons at this time. 9 countries with 15,000. How many times do you have to shoot something or stomp something for it to die? Imagine if you stomp an ant one time, you can pretty much annihilate that little ant. Well, stomp him another 14,999 times. Well, that's what we're looking at. And you can see this is beyond waging war. This is total annihilation is what they have in their mind. And of course, Rick Santorum, as Pastor mentioned last week, he said in the presidential debate, we're already in World War III, but the leaders don't want to say we're in World War III, but we're already there. And he's right. We are already there. And then think of the mindset of the people, just your average people. A lady in Las Vegas this last week, they say she snapped. That's all they can say is she snapped with her 3-year-old daughter in the back of the car as she was driving down the strip in Las Vegas. She left off the strip and went up into the sidewalks and started running over people. She came off the sidewalks, went down a little bit more, goes back up and runs over people again. Now, there's much more to this than a girl just decides to run over people. There's a lot to this young lady's life, and I dare say once we check into it or we see, you would see there was a lot that this young girl wasn't taught, and of course, she's only a repercussion of what this system has created. And then a drug called the devil's drug, it's actually, they're referring to it as the devil's drug, it's called Flacca. It's a new drug in Florida. You can order it on the internet. If you invest $1,500, they're saying you can sell it for $50,000. And this even comes with a kind of a money-back guarantee. They're actually advertising it on the internet. Keep in mind, it's an illegal drug. They're saying that you can buy it on the internet, and if your drugs doesn't come through, if the police confiscate it, we'll send you more. Don't worry about it. We'll get your order to you. Now, it makes you wonder, how does all this take place if we're controlling these things? If you can't stop drugs, how do you stop terrorists by getting into their emails and so forth? But once again, they're saying that people will hallucinate to where they think someone's chasing them. They're losing their mind. People are overdosing at alarming rates. One doctor says it's worse than any other drug that he's ever seen, including heroin. And then we also see protests going on in the UK about the bombing of Syria. Once again, the people are not behind this, and they're wanting it stopped, this killing of innocent people. Ukraine also acknowledged this week that, yes, they're telling Russia, we will not pay for the $3 billion in gas that you sold us. We're going to default on that. The IMF is getting involved. Remember, Putin said just a few months ago, if Ukraine wants to be a nation, they want to be a sovereignty, then let the IMF pay their bills. Well, the IMF is changing rules now, so Ukraine can still get money and default on their loans. So it's very interesting. It's all to give Russia kind of a smack in the face in what they're dealing with. Then the United States and Russia, of course, recently they agreed on a deal to have peace in Syria. And after the deal was agreed upon, the United States, still turn to Russia and says, we still will not give you any information, but we want Assad gone. And that's what it's going as Assad. They want Assad out of there. And there's many, many reasons behind that. But stay tuned for that, because watch what's going on in Syria. They just had their largest Christmas celebration, Muslims and Christians alike, celebrating Christmas in the streets of Damascus. So they're trying to show somebody something. Then moving on, it says the United States has a new missile silo that they've put into Romania, which is right there on Russia's border. India, they were competing, Russia and America were competing to sell weapons to India. Well, Russia wins out with a $7 billion weaponry bill. And they're going to sell that to India. Of course, remember, you're buying friends. Remember how you get mercenaries. It's whoever pays more. Also, Italy. Now, pay close attention, because it's Italy, but the man specifically says Rome. Rome speaks out about these sanctions. The United States is wanting the EU to sign off on. Remember, Joe Biden says sometimes the United States just has to force them to do it. Well, they want the United States. They want the EU to sign off on these bills. But Rome specifically is speaking out against it. Remember, a enemy of my friend is my friend. Remember the psychological aspects that the Vatican works with. Of course, they're scared they're going to get nuked, and they're scared Russia may be the one to do it. Well, Turkey is building with tensions with not only Russia, but now Iran getting involved, saying that Turkey is overstepping their boundaries, so a lot more bullying up around the River Euphrates. And then refugees, you talk about Christmas pains, and of course here yesterday, if you're homeless, you could have went and got a meal. Well, watch what they do over in Europe for those who were Christians. They're immigrants. They came in. Well, instead of giving them a meal, they all went on vacation and left them out in the rain to dry, so to speak, while they froze. And then last but not least, Christianity leaving the Middle East. And listen to what the lady closes with. Listen to what she says, that ISIS, their final goal is. And of course, it's to conquer a certain place that Pastor has brought for years will burn. At this time, if we could go ahead and play the news. If everyone would please stand. Now, of course, on that note, if you have any other questions, you can go to yahweh.com, and there's 40-plus years of why Rome is going to be burned and what's going to occur. One other thing to look for, don't think it's ironic that the countries that stand with Assad and that are standing, and of course you have the United States divided against Russia, don't think it's odd that Russia, China, and Iran are three countries that refuse to let the Pope in their country either. It's not ironic. Things are taking place. And at this time, I would like to turn it over for closing prayer.